It began with good intentions. Years ago, the state of Illinois encouraged landowners to plant a hardy shrub known as autumn olive, a non-native. Williamson County landowner Dennis Neiman says the autumn olive on his acreage was popular with the animals.
And they eat the berries and they eat the plant itself.
However, in this case, the shrub, with its many juicy red berries, was too successful.
But it's so invasive, it just takes over and it won't allow the trees like oaks and hickory to regenerate. So if you don't do it, 100 years from now, there won't be any oaks or hickories in that area.
Unfortunately, this is not a rare story. Bush honeysuckle, Japanese stilt grass, garlic mustard, and dozens of other plants not native to this area have been brought in and have caused big problems. Kevin Rowling, coordinator of the River to River Cooperative Weed Management Area, says invasive plants can adversely change the natural ecology of an area, like outcompeting the native plants that our pollinators depend on. One non-native plant, which is widely used as a pretty ornamental in landscaping, is the large grass-like Phragmites. It is pretty, but it also has a dark side.
The worst is it gets in shallow waterways and it'll just absolutely choke them out.
That's Jesse Reekman with the Southern Illinois Prescribed Burn Association at a controlled burn back in December, standing next to a patch of this non-native, describing in vivid detail how it harms the ecosystem.
So you'll see this growing in narrow areas of lakes, and it makes the lake much smaller, and it kind of hides all the habitat for everything that likes those shallow little fingers, you know? So it's pretty bad stuff.
The importance of preserving and protecting native plants is so vital that every year, the Illinois Native Plant Society holds a weekend conference called, appropriately enough, the Illinois Indigenous Plants Symposium. This year's three-day conference is this weekend at Johnny Logan College in Carterville. And recently, the president of the Native Plant Society, Chris Benda, stopped by to emphasize the importance of natives.
Somebody might take a plant from other parts of the United States or other parts of the world and put it in their lawn and or their yard, and it might grow just fine. And they think, well, what's wrong with that? It seems to like growing here. But the point is that plants and animals have evolved together over hundreds of thousands of years. And there's many interactions that are going on that we don't understand or know about. And so the idea is that without our native plants, we can't sustain our native wildlife. Most people, I think, would agree that they like butterflies and birds. We won't have any butterflies and birds without native plants for their young to basically live on and eat.
There's a lot of science to back this up.
I think that one of the really clear examples that, of course, the native plant guru, Dr. Doug Tallamy, has well illustrated in his research is if you look at, say, an oak tree or like a black cherry, that there's up to 500 species of caterpillars that can be found that utilize that particular plant or tree versus the calorie pear, which are very popular and they're all over Carbondale and they serve no wildlife. No caterpillars prefer to use that tree.
Stephanie Eichholz, the executive director of Green Earth, a Carbondale nonprofit group, says if you're doing landscape work, natives work well.
Well, native plants are a wonderful way to landscape. Since they've evolved here locally, they are very hardy for our type of climate. They can withstand the extremes of both the winters and the summers. They've developed resistance to local diseases, local insect populations that could damage them. So they're very hardy. They'll cost you less money in added water, added fertilizer, and hopefully less money in replacing the horticultural exotic plants that don't survive through our harsh conditions. But beyond that, beyond them being cheaper and easier to use, they also provide food and habitat for our local wildlife. Many of our cityscapes and residential neighborhoods can be absolute deserts food-wise for our local populations of insects, songbirds, small mammals. Many people don't even think about the insect population, but they are the food base for the rest of the animals in the area. And so with a lack of food for our insects, we really do a disservice to the wildlife in general.
The conference features a variety of speakers, and it kicks off this Friday with a guided hike at Cove Hollow Trail, which skirts Cedar Lake. I'm Kevin Boucher.